Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people just like you to create oneness. And through universal support and guidance, educate people just like you and I about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself, be of service, and love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com, as well as there is a perfect opportunity for you to sign up for the free, yes, free universal daily insights. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and taking time out of your busy schedule to be present with us. And this opportunity for me to serve you, I am deeply grateful. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer just like always, followed by our very creative and inspiring guest. Our guest is Robert McDowell. He's the author, teacher, and poet. Robert offers one-on-one mentoring and coaching for businesses and groups interested in improving their spiritual awareness, listening, communication, writing, and presentation skills. He's the author, co-author, editor, and translator of 10 books, most recently Poetry as Spiritual Practice. Reading, writing, and using poetry in your daily rituals, aspirations, and intentions. To learn more about Robert and his new book, well, we will be discussing it on the show. But for more information, please visit www.poetryasspiritualpractice.com. I invite all of you to stay attuned as we hear many, many revelations and awakenings regarding poetry, spirituality, the power of poems, healing, compassion, self-confidence, patience, and everything good. But for now, I invite all of you to get yourself into the present moment with a few deep cleansing breaths as we unite on the air today and every day. Here we go. I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath in through your nose and exhale through your mouth with an ah. I invite all of you to intentionally use your will and relax your body, relax your head, relax yourself from head to toe. Allow yourself to be present. Good job. Here we go, another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Shake it out, shake it out, shake out your shoulders, shake out your arms, shake out your legs, shake out your booty. Shake it all out, shake it all out. Shake out all the heaviness you're holding on to. Shake out your head a little bit, side to side. Allow the heaviness to just dust off. Good job. Here we go, another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. The intention of the breath of life is to support you, to awaken you, to be present, to be here in the now. As you're here in the now, as we unite on the air, you and I and our wonderful guest, we are right here, present, with the beauty and the wonder and the magnificence and the limitless, boundless presence of the divine God, love, light, source, creator, higher power, spirit, whatever name you have for this magnificent energy inside and outside, it is right where we are, right where I am, right where you are. As we breathe into it, as we awaken, as we use our intentions to go inside and out, healing inside and out, awakening inside and out, enlightening inside and out, inspiring inside and out, really just being present in awe of all the blessings, of all the grace, of all the goodness, the limitless abundance that is here for us. Day to day we are seeing it. Day to day we are experiencing it. Let us at this moment be grateful for it. Let us all open up our hearts to ourselves, appreciating ourselves for who we are. Finally, saying yes to ourselves. Yes with respect. Yes with value. Yes with honor. Yes with acceptance. Yes with love to ourselves. Therefore, this wonderful heart of God, the heart of our soul, the heart of our presence, the heart of Michelle and you and Robert, opening up and giving it out to the whole world unconditionally. For in truth, we are all one. And with this oneness, I invite you to take another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an into the here and the now, into the present moment. You are wonderful as you are. I invite you to say yes to yourself, yes to life, yes to all that is, yes to the divine, yes to love and light, yes to expansion, yes to the isness, yes to healing right here, right now. Thank you so much for being present with us. As I take this opportunity to reintroduce our wonderful guest, Mr. Robert McDowell, author, teacher, poet, and recently the author of Poetry as Spiritual Practice, Reading, Writing, and Using Poetry in Your Daily Rituals, Aspirations, and Intentions. Without further ado, let's welcome our guest, Robert.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. We know you're very busy these days.
Well, thank you for the beautiful prayer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And congratulations on your new book. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So what comes for me as I was reading through, I see that you write, poetry is the language of devotion in prayer, chant, and song. Reading and writing poetry creates clarity, deepens and expands spiritual inquiry, and cultivates wisdom, compassion, self-confidence, patience, and love. I love it. But here we go. You also write, poetry makes you into a tuning fork of the divine. I love that. But can you tell us what you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it's a metaphor that I like, because it seems to me to capture the physical feeling of what a poem does when we hear it or when we read it aloud. There's that that feeling that you get, the hairs go up on the back of your neck, or that tingling sensation at the base of your spine. Really, it's what's happening is your chakras are being engaged, and poetry has that power.
Very interesting. And Robert, for our listeners that don't know about chakras, let's bring awareness to them that these are energy centers in our bodies. And when they're blocked, we have low energy, we're constipated in our minds. Excuse me, that just came out of me.
That's absolutely right.
I'm so sorry, that just it just came out. Anyways, right, would you like to elaborate on the chakras for any listener that may not know what those are?
Well, as you say, they are energy centers in the body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, and they are... When you are actively engaged and in the moment, your chakras are open and energy is flowing through you and out of you into the world. And so it's very important to be aware of what the energy is doing in each of our chakras. And we frequently get blocked And that creates some of the problems you just mentioned.
I just, where did that come from? But okay.
But you know, it also creates problems in our relationships and in our jobs, our work.
Mm-hmm.
Having chakras open and the energy flowing through us is very important.
Absolutely.
And, you know, poetry is one of the great tools to use for that.
Well, I'm really awakened by that. I had no clue that poetry can support our chakras being aligned and functioning and being open and everything. That's amazing.
It's all true.
Wow. And do you teach about the chakras in your one-on-one mentoring and coaching also?
Yes, but to some extent I do, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know that. That's wonderful. So let's talk about this new book. What was your inspiration? What inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, I actually wrote this book 5 times, and it took 5 years to write. And so it was really, it was a process in discovery. I discovered what I wanted to do with this book as I wrote it. When I began the work on it, I Googled the two words, poetry and spirituality.
Mm.
And to my surprise, I found that there were no books that actually brought the two together. Now, what's interesting to me about that is that the two words are apparently, I read an essay once that said that two of the 6 most Googled words in the world were poetry and spirituality.
Wow, poetry, really?
Really, yeah.
That's so beautiful.
So that was interesting to me, and the more I researched and looked for books that would talk about poetry as spiritual practice, I found nothing. So that's when I began to realize, well, that, you know, this is really what I want to write because it also mirrors my own personal journey over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the inspiration to articulate for others some of the discoveries I had made along the way.
So beautiful. After 5 years, it's out.
Yes.
You gave birth to it after 5 years. Wow, I'm out. The book said, I don't know what's going on with me today. I'm just very silly. It must be your energy. Can I blame it on you?
Oh, please.
No, but I can be silly, Robert, really. And you know what? I'm really inspired because, to be honest, Robert and the listeners, I've always kind of been intimidated by poetry. Robert, I have been intimidated.
You know,
am I the only one?
No. In fact, okay. One of the first things I try to do is in the book is address the many misconceptions we have about poetry. Many people, the thing is, when we're very young, we experience poetry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As we get older, many of us grow away from poetry.
Right.
And we come to embrace attitudes such as, poetry is just for eggheads.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read poetry or write poetry. I could never write poetry. I could only do that if I had 3 degrees from universities.
Right. I'm not smart enough, right?
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. And you know, these attitudes are just absolutely, they're absolutely wrong. You know, they're counter to what poetry really is, which is the most natural language that and the most refined language that we've ever learned, and we have it inside us from the moment of our birth.
Right. And when you mention as children, I notice in your book that you say Mother Goose.
Yes.
Yeah, Mother Goose's books, these are poetry?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
nursery rhymes. One of the early uses in one of the things we do with poetry very early in our lives is we learn how to live in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So poetry teaches us, for example, the months of the year and how many days are in them. 30 days have September, April, June, and November, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That's a poem, and that's something that we learn and recite very young in school. If not, at home, if we had mothers or relatives who read poetry to us, they were usually reading Mother Goose.
Right.
We learned the days of the week from poetry. Remember the poem, Monday's Child is Full of Grace, Tuesday's Child, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a poem. And that taught us the days of the week. Mm-hmm. Now, an interesting side note to that is I never liked that poem because for some odd reason, Wednesday's child is full of woe, which I always thought was a very bad rap on Wednesday children.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born on a Wednesday.
Oh.
So, you know,
personally.
I never really liked that one. But
you took it personally. Okay, now let that go.
So, you know, but anyway, there's a couple of examples of poems that, you know, teach us how to live in the world. I mean, we have to know the calendar. We have to know the days of the week. There are poems that taught us how to tell time. There are poems that teach us basic manners.
Wow!
And that was really the point of Mother Goose, and to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I never thought of them as poems. Nursery rhymes as poems. Duh.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, the first poem we ever hear, we're still in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
The first poem we hear is the beat of our mother's heart.
Wow.
And the beat of the mother's heart, actually there are studies that have proved this, is the same beat that a line of poetry has. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. You know, slow it down. And that's what we hear. That's what we're hearing all the time. Now, there is an old, a very ancient Hindu story that says that when we're in the womb, we are singing a song over and over. And the song says, don't let me forget who I am. Don't let me forget who I am.
Mm.
At the moment we're born, the song changes. Who am I? Who am I?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, at the moment we're born, the song changes to say, who am I, who am I?
Right, right, exactly.
So, of course, the gulf between don't let me forget who I am and who am I, that's all the mystery and the surprise and sorrow of a human life.
Mm.
So the moment we're born, we begin to sing this song of forgetting. And what we're really doing all our life after that, and this is what spiritual practice is, we are trying to journey back to the divine source and re-inhabit that original song that we knew so well.
Our true selves.
And that's what poetry is.
That is so beautiful. And we can do that in the present moment, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time that we read a poem with mindfulness, with presence, every time we write a poem in the same way, every time we hear a poem in the same way, we are experiencing that original song all over again. And that's exactly what we're going for in spiritual practice. That's what makes the reading and the writing and the listening to poetry spiritual practice in and of itself.
Mm, that's so beautiful. I get your dedication and your commitment to poetry as a spiritual practice. I really, really get it from your soul. I don't know. I'm just getting it. I don't know if all your listeners, are you getting it? Are you getting what I'm getting?
I hope so.
No, really, really. And you have such a beautiful, authentic voice. That's what I'm getting. Now, I also noticed in your book about the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer. These are also poems.
Absolutely, yes. Well, you know, one of the great questions I always love to ask people is, what's the most famous poem ever? What's the poem that is being recited right now as you and I are speaking somewhere in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the poem that has been recited by billions of people of all nationalities, of every language? What is that poem?
What is it?
And it is the Serenity Prayer.
Oh, wow.
It is the Serenity Prayer. It is so simple, you know. It's just a simple three lines, basically. Many times people mistake it for the Prayer of St. Francis, but it's not. That's a different prayer, also a great poem. But this prayer goes like this.
Okay.
God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things that should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other.
It's so powerful.
It's so powerful. And again, it has been a poem, a healing poem for billions of people, not millions, but billions of people. Now, billions. Bill W.
Yes, I was going to touch on that. Go ahead. He's the founder of AA?
He was the founder of AA.
Okay. Alcoholics Anonymous, yes.
Yes, he wrote about this. He wrote of those lines. Quote, never had we seen so much AA in so few words. Well, now, you know, Michelle, you could take that quote, that simple quote, and say of poetry, never have we seen so much of the divine in so few words.
Mm.
That's what poetry is.
Yes.
It is the fewest words, the right words, and it's the sound of divinity itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the present moment, just allowing, opening up our hearts and just allowing it to flow, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
All it really requires...
poetry. I'm writing it every day in my daily insight. Well, you don't know. I mean, like every day I sit still and I ask the divine presence in me to reveal for the day, and I just type away.
So what you're doing is actually you're performing a kind of poetry writing.
Wow. Because I am a poet.
Absolutely. Well, everyone is. You know, the secret is, like, just as we are all divine.
Yes.
We are all poets because we all use that language of divinity. It's just some of us use it more than others. But we all have the capability. We all have the potential and the capacity to reconnect with these songs and these words.
Because it's an innate knowing, an innate creative source within us, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
It's that original song.
Oh, I love this original song. I love it. It brings so much joy into my heart, really, as I'm awakening more, really, after, you know, reading your book and everything and meditating on it. It's so beautiful. But Robert, let us take this time to reintroduce you and anyone who may have just joined us. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. We've been speaking to Robert McDowell, author, teacher, and poet. And we've been talking about his new book, Poetry as Spiritual Practice, and the power of poetry and how authentic and how real and all of us have it inside of us. So I invite you for more information. Please visit www.poetryasspiritualpractice.com. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Thank you.
No, really, really wonderful. So I want to ask you, Robert, as our listeners are listening, what is your intention with this book? What is your intention? Let us hear what your intention is.
My intention with this book is to reach as many people as possible with the message that the language of divinity is within them. And that poetry, if one begins to write poetry and read poetry in a mindful way and incorporate it or work it into one's daily spiritual practice, whatever that may be, that practice will be enriched and deepened and enlivened for the practitioner.
Mm-hmm. And how will it change our life? How will it heal us? How will it awaken us? And for those of us who, I'm not those of us, I'm awakening now really to the power of poetry. But for those of us that may think this is like really hard, it's like homework. You know, that mindset that I have to sit and I have to do.
One of the things that I work with constantly in my workshops and in my one-on-one work and certainly in this book is that I make the point that it's a misconception that you know, poetry is hard and like homework. In fact, it's like play.
Mm-hmm.
It's much closer in spirit to the playfulness of the nursery rhymes we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
It's much closer to the playfulness of riddles, of limericks, of funny epigraphs. And so, you know, poetry is... poetry is the language that allows us to really be most emotional. You know, whether that's emotion is sadness or that emotion is elation and joy.
Mm-hmm.
We can only experience those feelings to their greatest heights. If we are completely, mindful and in the moment, and if we express ourselves in any way, we are bordering on writing poetry anyway, or reading poetry,
mm-hmm.
and to make use of or to tap the resources of all of these poems, these hundreds of thousands, if not millions of poems that are available to us, it's just very exciting to be able to do that and bring those into our spiritual practice as we see fit, as we're comfortable doing that.
Right. You know, Robert and the listeners, I have two kids. They're 10 and a half, 8 and a half.
Uh-huh.
They never talk about poetry. They never come home with any poetry books. We never really speak about it. And after reading your book and really, it's now, I'm awakened now, you know. It's no longer unconscious. In my unconscious mind, I'm very conscious of it now. And I'd actually like to do something about bringing awareness to my children. And for any of those parents, grandchildren, or aunts or uncles, or anyone who may be listening, what suggestions do you have for us to bring greater awareness of poetry to our children, to the young ones? The new generation.
Well, one thing, there are a couple of things that I would suggest right away, and the first thing is to share reading poetry to one another. Read aloud.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's nothing more moving than to actually give one's attention to or to listen to and to or to be the reader, to read aloud a poem that one finds moving for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't take very much time. You know, a family sitting together or friends sitting together for 2 or 3 minutes can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that can be done, and it's fun, is do a writing exercise as a group, you know, with your children, with your best friends, or with a small group that you feel comfortable in. There are many writing exercises that people can do, or prompts, writing to prompts, that allow one to just experience the joy of
mm-hmm.
committing thoughts to paper,
mm-hmm.
and then see where you go from there. You know, you'll end up probably working on some of those, making them into poems, or you will share them and laugh and have fun with them. But some of them may also actually work really well into a particular spiritual practice. Now, in my book, you know, I do offer a lot of examples
yes.
of exercises.
I was going to bring that up, that you do offer exercises.
Right, right. There are all kinds of them that are very good for individual use or for groups.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, a lot of the emphasis is on having fun, because if you're not having fun, if you're not enjoying it, yes, like any other thing that you don't enjoy, it could be deadly.
Bam! Be careful. Poetry. No. No, but I'm really like, I'm having visions of inviting friends over and taking out your book and playing around and self-expressing. And this is a wonderful way of uniting, creating oneness, opening up our hearts, self-expressing ourselves after having all these dormant, you know, emotions as children, as young adults, as adults that we don't talk about. I think it's a wonderful way to express.
That's beautifully put,
yes.
And I agree. I think poetry is a great... here's an example, just imagistically, if I may. A lot of times I think that poetry's effect on us is like this. Now, you remember what it's like, and we've all done this. You're in a dark room, there are no lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you open a door to a room that is lit. What happens in that moment is that the light from the lit room pours through the door and envelops you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poetry is like that.
Mm.
Poetry affects us like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if we're in a darkness. We're in darkness, and a poem will throw a light around you, will envelop you in light.
I can feel the warmth. I can get the wisdom in that, I can get the openness in that, the expansion in that, the joy in that. And I'm also getting that we can get, like, grounded. We feel grounded in the present moment.
Absolutely.
We are here.
Yeah.
This is what I'm getting from your guided meditation.
I think that's perfect. You're absolutely right on it and accurate. And,
yes.
You know, what you said a moment ago, too, I just want to just echo this.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I think it's really important that poetry is also, another thing that poetry does is it builds communities.
Mm-hmm.
It is an act of communion, and it builds community. So, for example, if you brought friends over to your house one night and you did just some poetry exercises, some writing exercises, it's just so opening and innervating,
mm-hmm.
and exciting. I can give a great example.
Yes, please do.
Not too long ago, I was asked to substitute teach a Saturday workshop for 4 hours, and the attendees were all people who were out on parole.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to come to this as a condition of their parole.
Wow, how wonderful.
So they had to come just to stay out of jail. Now, they had no idea that I was going to be there that day or that I was a poet or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point during the day, during our session, in about the last half hour, I said, hey, let's do a writing thing. Now, these were a lot of guys. These were 20 men. These were a lot of guys who were you would never think would even, you know, look at a piece of paper.
Right.
Well, I passed out papers and pens, and they said, well, okay, you know. Some were more enthusiastic than others.
Right.
But I said, okay, I'm going to give you 14 words down the right-hand side of the page. Write these words down. And they did. And I said, okay, now write a line to each word. That word is your end word. So just fill up the page, right to the words. And they did in about 15 minutes. And then we went around the room, and they read some remarkable things.
Mm.
They were very open. They were very, some were cathartic, some were funny, some were terribly sad, but it was just a great experience of sharing.
Wow.
And it brought everybody so close together. And that was at the end of the session, and I said to them, well, listen, guys, I want to congratulate all of you because all of you have just written your first Shakespearean sonnet. And indeed, they had.
Oh, that's so beautiful of you to say that. You really support their self-confidence.
Well, it was true too.
Wow.
I was deeply impressed.
I mean, imagining where they are in their consciousness, in their life, and hopeless and everything, and you coming along and presenting them with these exercises and giving them hope and helping them open up their hearts. I think that's so beautiful.
It was a beautiful experience for me. And, you know, one thing, too, that I must say is whenever I'm working with anyone or working with a group or working with a business, the thing I always say at the end is, and I mean it with all my heart, that you know, I learn as much or more from them as they ever learn from me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel that. I just feel that it's such a great gift to be among people who are questing, you know, who are on the journey.
Absolutely. Just between you and I, Robert, and all the thousands of listeners.
Uh-huh.
I feel the same way when I'm working one-on-one or in my meditation classes with people. I feel like so honored that as I'm helping someone self-realize, I'm supporting them. Actually, I'm helping myself self-realize, you know, and awaken. And it's such a privilege. It's such a blessing. And I know where you're coming from. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so empowering, and it's so like, this is why I'm alive. This is how I feel. This is why I'm alive. This is why I'm here. And it's magnificent.
Well,
again, Robert...
I can offer a testimonial that, you know, it's very apparent in listening to you that you do have that energy.
Oh, thank you very much. Can you say that louder?
I'd be happy. I can shout it from the mountaintop.
I'm just kidding. Thank you, Robert. Taking this opportunity to reintroduce our wonderful, authentic, And I mean a real, real guest. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. We've been speaking to Robert McDowell. He's an author, a teacher, poet. And he also offers one-on-one mentoring and coaching for businesses and groups. If any of you are interested, please visit his website, www.poetryasspiritualpractice.com. Let us all unite together and really awaken the planet to the power of poetry and how it can open up our hearts and heal us inside and out. This is how I feel. Robert, for anyone who may want to contact you, your information is on your website. Any number that you want to give out or any email address?
I would love to give out an email address, absolutely.
Sure.
Just it's very simple, poetrymentor@mac.com.
Okay. I like that, poetrymentor.
@mac.com. That will get to me.
@mac.com. Thank you very much. Do you have any workshops coming up anytime soon?
Well, you know, the only workshop that I've got scheduled at the moment is a big one that I'm very excited about, and I hope that anyone out there would be interested in joining me, and that is at Esalen at Big Sur in California.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. That'll be actually the beginning of 2009. That will be in January 20th through the 25th.
Oh, how beautiful. What a wonderful way to start the year.
People can get information about that by going to esalen.org.
Okay, great. Esalen.org, they can get information.
Uh-huh.
And what a wonderful way to start the new year.
I'm sorry?
What a wonderful way to start 2009.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. It's you know, it's one of the most beautiful conference centers and settings in the world. And I'm very, very excited about going.
You know, I'm so inspired right now. I just feel like going to my kids' school and talking to the principal and really inviting this idea into their school. And I'm going to do that once school starts.
That's a great
I'm
thing.
Going to voice my presence. No, I really get the power. I mean, as children, if we had this opportunity in school to awaken to this power, you know, to this healing power, to this loving power, our lives would have changed. I know mine would, honestly. I know that I didn't probably, I don't know for sure because there's karma also, but I wouldn't have to suffer so much to get to where I am. You know, I'm a lupus survivor and near-death accident survivor and divorce survivor. I am here now. So perhaps poetry would have saved me of all that. I don't know. But it's very exciting, very exciting.
Well, it's not, you know, I'm not sure that, I don't know if poetry could have saved you from any of that, but, you know, poetry can be a great comfort and teacher and companion.
I know.
Through it all, and that's the great thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I honestly meant that. I know it can't save me from all. Boom, I'm walking and the car hits me. Oh, yeah, poetry could have saved that. No, poetry could have, in the healing process.
Right.
Definitely. If I may, Robert, and the listeners, as today I was visiting your website, Robert, I went to the guided meditation section. You have a sample.
Right.
And I chose to listen, and wow. What happened to your sister and the poem that you write for her, it's beautiful. But I would like you to tell us all about what happened to your sister.
Well, my sister committed suicide at the age of 35 many years ago.
God bless her.
And she, she had a terrible time. She was going through a lot of terrible things in her life. Our mother actually had just died 6 weeks before her suicide.
Oh.
And that was difficult, of course, very difficult. That was actually the first, immediate death in our family. So it was very, very painful for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had her marriage failed. And her husband actually chose it was a wonderful moment of inappropriate behavior, chose the moment of dropping her off at the airport to fly home to my mother's funeral. to tell her that when she came back, he was going to be, he would have been moved out with, to move in with another woman.
Oh, my God.
So this was a, you know, these were double whammies that were very, very difficult for her to deal with.
It's a shock to her nervous system, yes.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, she, sadly, she I think at a very low point in her life, and she was the mother of four young children.
Mm-hmm.
But she chose to end her life. And, you know, it took me 20 years of, and of course, survivors of this sort of experience have all kinds of reactions. You know, certainly you love the person, but you, one can be angry. One can be devastated, confused. And, you know, I think people go through all of those feelings as the survivors of someone who does this, who's close to you. And that's exactly what happened with me. I could never write about her or write about that situation until 20 years later, when I wrote a poem that is a sonnet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a poem that I realized as I was writing it, very quickly, that it was about her and about her death. But it was also, most importantly, it was a poem about forgiveness.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we just... there's no more important message, I think, in any spiritual language, any teaching, than forgiveness.
Yes, this was my message when I asked you, forgiveness. Yes, please go ahead.
Right, right. So, may I read the poem?
Yes. Just before you read it, you forgave her and then you wrote the poem, or you wrote the poem then you forgave her?
You know, I honestly have to say, Michelle, that I wasn't really sure that I'd forgiven her until I'd written the poem.
Okay, okay, great.
And that's maybe another beautiful gift of poetry.
Okay, this is what I wanted to get clear about.
Right.
That's wonderful. Okay,
right.
Please do. It's beautiful.
So this is a sonnet, a poem of 14 lines. It's called Elegy in August. It was August that she, actually we're coming right up on the anniversary. It was in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
Sleep, little sister, far from pain. Water smooths out stones in the river as memory calms the chaos you left behind. Rest easy, sister. Your babies are older than you ever were. Even the stain will fade when none are left to remember the calls for help you never made. After burning, blackberry bushes struggle up through ash, and love, resilient, blooms in all seasons, even for you, who suffered and could not tell what was right, as you hurled yourself, suddenly spiraling upward to darkness or light.
Mm. I got goosebumps listening to that meditation. It's unbelievable.
Thank you. It was a difficult, obviously, in some ways it was a difficult one to write. And you know, it's always a little harder for me to read this particular poem, for example, than many others. But again, it's an uplifting experience ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It is a poet. This poem and the experience of poetry helped me to understand my sister better. And ultimately, yes, to forgive her.
Oh, my God, how important. What happened to you after you forgave her? Like, what physically happened to you?
Say again?
What happened to you after you forgave her? Did you feel any physical sensations, like a release through your body? Because I do a lot of forgiveness. Like, I actually sit down and see what I can forgive during the day. I do that, like, every day. Who can I forgive? What circumstance, what condition, or how can I forgive myself? And I actually feel the energies releasing from my body. I want to know how you felt.
Well, one thing I felt was very connected to her.
Oh, wow.
And I felt a much greater sense of peace and calm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. So, yes, I did feel that. I mean, I felt an interior kind of opening. My energy was not blocked. Because, of course, when you're holding a grudge, when you're resentful, when you're bitter, when you're angry, when you're revengeful, you're blocked all over the place.
Right.
Like, you know, there's no energy flowing.
Right.
and so to have to have any of those feelings like that cleansed or cleared away was such a relief.
Mm.
It was just sort of like stepping into a new body or stepping back into a, you know, that calm space in the meadow or that place where, the divine origin.
Yes.
You know, it was a moment as if I'd gone back and was singing the song again, "Don't Let Me Forget Who I Am."
Oh, my God, your true self.
Singing that with her.
Oh, wow. Did you feel her presence?
Pardon me?
Did you feel her presence?
I did feel her presence, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Even after all that time, which was remarkable to me. You know, I mean, I have been connected with her before like that. I mean, you know, the night she committed suicide, I was 2,000 miles away, and I was awakened sitting bolt upright in bed, because I had had a very powerful, not so much a dream, but a vision of her.
Mm-hmm.
Which was very strange to me because I hadn't really, dreamed about her or in any way that I could remember in years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I had that experience the night she... And it was just like six or seven hours later, my sister-in-law called to tell me that she had died.
Mm. It's the oneness.
Yes, yeah.
It's the oneness. You got it. And, you know, what an opportunity. Thank you for providing this meditation for all of us. I invite you, listeners... If you know anyone that has lost a loved one through suicide or any disease or anything, please, either you or have them listen to this meditation. It will really bring insights to you. I think it's a very healing meditation. You know,
Thank you.
I really think that it's healing. Just by listening to it once, I mean, for me, it was like really healing. And just to put it out there, Robert, you also have 20 meditations, is that right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yes.
And they all make use of poetry. They're meditations that are designed to they may cover a span of anywhere from 7 minutes to 15 minutes, so they're very short. But they all include a poem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So each one meditation and poem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And can these meditations and poems support people that are in deep stress or are experiencing pain and suffering of any kind?
Well, I wrote each of them to cover a specific emotion experience. So, for example, one, obviously the one we were just talking about, covers forgiveness, deals with forgiveness. Another deals with anger. Another deals with compassion. One deals with play, the idea of playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, we can all use that in our lives, playing.
I mean, again, we always have to remind ourselves that the spiritual journey is full of joy and laughter and excitement in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think many people get caught in that rut of... like with poetry, that it's always difficult.
Yes.
That spiritual practice is a chore, too, is difficult.
Yes.
But it's so joyful.
You are really bringing it out that it's very, very joyful. If we choose it to be, if we become aware that it can be joyful, it's all up to us. How do we perceive? How do we interpret things? What do we choose? Yes?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, what are we choosing? Like, I was choosing that. poetry is just too much for me or whatever, but now I'm like really awakened that it's like so beautiful and joyful and it brings awareness. And Robert, one more thing. As I was reading what you wrote, poetry cultivates wisdom, compassion, self-confidence, patience, and love. And don't we all need more of that? We can use a little more here and there. But how does poetry cultivate self-confidence? How does that do it for those who are lacking self-confidence in any area of their life? How can this support them?
Well, poetry supports self-confidence in these ways, really. Poetry makes you more aware and tuned in. You become a much better witness and observer.
Mm-hmm.
You also become much more sensitive to the sounds sound and the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
You also become, therefore, more articulate. You speak better. You write better. Your writing improves, your speaking improves, therefore, your communication skills improve.
Mm.
Well, you can link follow the dots on this, that if your communication skills improve, you're probably going to have a little more success in your profession. You're certainly going to have more success in your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of what counts in a relationship is the power to listen and the power to communicate.
Yes.
So poetry helps you with all of those skills, if we can call them that.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone will certainly boost one's self-confidence.
Yes. Because and when we have self-confidence, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, well, you'll be putting out that energy, that kind of energy in the world, and that energy will come back to you
Yes. In
the same way.
So when we feel good, we feel good, we stand up tall, we have confidence, this is what we present out to the world, this is what we see in the mirror, this is what we create, this is what we
exactly.
attract.
Yeah. And Yes. When we're standing up tall like that and full of confidence, we're embodying poetry.
Mm.
We are poems then.
Beautiful. And therefore having compassion and wisdom and patience. Wow.
Yes.
Can we all use some patience, especially in traffic?
Absolutely.
These days, driving around, especially in Los Angeles, I can use some patience. Oh, my gosh. Like, God, help. Give me patience. Let me breathe. Let's recite some poetry. Wow. Robert, our time is almost up. But before we finish for today, do you have any messages or would you like to recite a poem for us to finish this wonderful interview?
Well, I've had a tremendous, it's been a tremendous experience and I've had a wonderful time talking to you and talking to everyone listening to us. I would like to, let me just read a little short poem from a very important mentor of mine, who was a poet and an actor, and he's now 94 years old,
still with us. God bless him.
But his name is George Hitchcock, and he wrote this poem many, many years ago, and it's really about being in the moment and being comfortable with exactly who you are.
Mm.
It's called Records. Another Russian has returned after 2 million miles in orbit. Today, I sat motionless for 28 minutes while a butterfly folded its trembling wings and rested on my knee. Whether we're traveling 2 million miles or whether we're sitting for 28 minutes allowing a butterfly to rest on our knee, we're all the same. We're all one. It's all the same journey.
I'm feeling the butterfly on my knee. So beautiful, so gentle. And so free, and so free. Wow. Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you for your presence and your contribution to humanity and your intention for all of us. We do appreciate you.
Michelle, thank you, and bless you for all the work you do. And everyone out there, continue on the journey. The journey is beautiful and exciting and full of surprises, and every moment is an opportunity.
And with that, we say thank you very much. Bless you in your journey in this lifetime, Robert, till we speak again.
Thank you, Michelle. I look forward to that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And wonderful listeners, this has been Infinite Love Radio for this week. As we have joined together, as we have learned much and awakened to much, as our beautiful guest, Robert, has spoken his truth to us, awakening us into the present moment as we are all poets inside and out. Let us know who we are here, remembering who we are as wonderful emanations of the divine. We have all the wisdom, the compassion, the self-confidence, the patience, and love that Robert speaks about inside of us. Let us use our will to awaken. With this I say I love you. Until next week, I invite you to join us as our guest is Michael Skoronowski, who is a mystic and a scientist, a healer and a software engineer, and a great deal more. He's also the author of Unforgettable, a love and spiritual growth story. For more information on Michael and his book, please visit www.unforgettablebook.com. But for now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body, in your being, and breathe it out and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit our website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights. As always, you have the opportunity to sign up for the free Universal Daily Insights at www.spiritualityinsideandout.com/insights. I love you, and I invite all of your comments, suggestions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. This has been Michelle Morovati. Blessings to you, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Until next week, much blessings, love, and light to you all. Good day.